hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, we give you praise today. We give you praise today. We give you praise today, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Let's wait on the Lord for just a moment. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh God, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Man, I greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I'm thankful for his presence in this house. Thank God for the sweet Holy Ghost that we feel here in this place. Hallelujah. There's nobody that can touch you like Jesus can touch you. Nobody can love you like Jesus can love you. Nobody can care for you like Jesus can care for you. Hallelujah. He has a plan for each and every one of our lives. He has something special he wants to do in each and every person's life here. Hallelujah. It is God's will for us to prosper and be in good health even as our soul prospers. Hallelujah. That is the will of God. That is the plan of God. Genesis chapter 25, verse number 19. Give honor to my pastor, Pastor Copeland. I love him. Respect him. I submit myself to him. Amen. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves to them. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. I submit myself to you, Pastor. Submit myself. I submit myself to every minister, the elders of this church, Brother Sermon, Brother Stroop. He's not here. I submit myself. And then I submit myself to you, Brother Sermon. I submit myself to you, Brother Harvest. And I submit myself to you, Bishop Thompson, Brother Kennedy, all the ministers of this church, Brother Kyle, amen. Brother Collins, amen. These Spanish ministers, amen. I submit myself. The reason why I'm saying this, the Bible says, amen, that whoever is standing right here, and the pastor said this, and this has been turning my spirit. Hallelujah. This business of submission, it does not make you less of a person to submit yourself. It really doesn't. Man, it really makes you more of a defined Christian when you know who you are and you understand that God is the one that has given you everything that you have. And the Bible also says, amen, in the book of James, it said, submit yourselves therefore unto God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You got to submit first. And then the Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I submit myself to every person in this house. Amen. I'm under submission. If you are a child of God and you love God, I'm in submission to you. Amen. That's what the scripture teaches, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Padan-Aram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. The Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord, and the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. The one people shall be stronger than I'm sorry, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, in your name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. Lord, we love you today. We thank you, God, for your presence, for your word, for your people, God, for the opportunity, God, to gather together in the name of Jesus Christ. God, I submit myself to you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I want to do your will today. I pray, God, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, that you would move in this service, that you would touch the hearts and lives of brothers and sisters, men and women, guests that are in this house. We ask you, Lord, to speak to us, God. We need a fresh word from heaven. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, hallelujah, I take authority over every lie of the devil. I bind every spirit, hallelujah, that would try to hinder the flow of the word of the Lord. I bind every spirit of witchcraft, every spirit of sorcery, every spirit, Lord, that would try to defy this apostolic message. I take authority over you in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I lose the power of the Holy Ghost to flow. The love of the word, hallelujah, have free course. Let it be glorified. Let there be liberty in the house. Let the Spirit of the Lord move in this house. In the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you, God, for the power of your word. I lose the gift of faith. I lose the gifts of the Spirit. I lose the operation of God to move in this house. In the name of Jesus, we give you the praise for it, God. We thank you for it, God. We ask you to help us today. We're depending upon you today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The Lord bless you. You may be seated. Amen. I want to speak to us from this subject. The elder shall serve the younger. The elder shall serve the younger. In the scripture, the entire word of the Lord is written from the standpoint of coming to a zenith or a high point, or basically the point for the whole Bible. And Pastor Copeland just said it before he stepped out of the pulpit. He said, the whole thing about this is the saving message of Acts 2:38. That's the point. That's the reason why we are here today. That's the reason why we are gathered together. That's the reason why we read our Bible. And so, having said that, if you look into the word of the Lord, you will see. The scripture teaches that it is laid out in types and laid out in shadows. Everything that we see in the word of the Lord is a type and a shadow. I know some things are for us literally. Some things are spiritually or figuratively, metaphorically speaking. But the word of the Lord talks to us about the importance of understanding this. In the book of Galatians, chapter 3, and verse number 22, the Bible says, but the scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law. Everybody say under the law. That was before faith. But the Bible says, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ. Hallelujah. That we might be justified by faith. Amen. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to basically specify how you are the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. He said in verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Hallelujah. The way that you get into the church of the living God is you got to be baptized into Christ. You have to put on Christ. Amen. You can't keep on. Amen. The garment you got on, you got to put on a new garment. Amen. And the Bible says there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For we are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So this scripture that was given in the book of Genesis is speaking about the grandsons of Abraham. Abraham was called out of Ur the Chaldees. His father, Terah, left and went so far, and they stopped. And then God spoke to him and said, come on, you got to go the rest of the way. And he went on. And he left Ur of the Chaldees, and he to go to a land that afterward would be revealed unto him. But we see that then after that, the Bible says he sojourned, amen, in tents with, amen, the heirs with him of the same promise. And the scripture teaches us that his son was a miracle. His wife was barren, could not have children, and it was impossible for this woman to have a child. She was after the, she had passed the years of being able to bear children, and Abraham was an old man, and it had been promised to them that they was going to have a child, but there was no evidence that the promise was fulfilled. 24 years had passed, and God came back and visited them again. Now Abraham's 99. At the time, he was 75. Now he's 99, and Sarah's 90. And God's telling him again, I'm going to give you a son. Amen. You're going to see the promise fulfilled, and this is going to take place. And there was a little bit of a staggering in the heart of Sarah, but not in Abraham's heart. Amen. He did, mention to the Lord that, you know, I'm kind of old, and she's kind of old. But he did not stagger after the promises of God through unbelief. He did believe God. And the Bible says it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Amen. There is something to be said about a people that have faith in God. I feel like more than ever before, the thing that the adversary wants to attack is our faith in God. Your ability to believe God that he can do anything. There is no, amen, a secret to what God can do. What he's done for others, he will do for you. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Amen. He's not limited. He's only limited on our, in our minds, and we doubt when we don't believe. So this man eventually, a year later, had a son. And the son, Isaac Laughter, was born, and he was the child of promise. And this son, finally, after 40 years, he finds his wife, and then Rebecca, and they end up getting together, and they have these, after he prayed for his wife, that she was barren also. Do you see a pattern of this situation where the impossible is always presented to these people of God? People that seem like they're doing right, why can't they have kids? People that are doing right when they're doing the will of God, why can't they be blessed? If they are serving God, why are they struggling? Why are they dealing with these obstacles and these circumstances? The reason why that these circumstances and obstacles are presented is because God wants to show you that he is God. He's your God. He's the one that makes a way when there seemeth to be no way. He's able to do what we cannot do, where we are limited. That he's able to supply the need. And so God told, when she prayed and asked about this, he told her, he said, there's two nations in your womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from your bowels. The one people shall be stronger than the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. Amen. So in the scripture, we see that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It was established, amen, several generations later, Moses received the law on Mount Sinai, and he began to write, and he began to communicate it to the people. But this scripture that we're looking at about the elder shall serve the younger, we know that it is referring to Jacob and Esau. Jacob, the hairy, rugged, rough man, and Esau, the heel grabber, the supplanter, the deceiver. But we also understand that this man, Jacob, had an encounter, and God changed his name from a deceiver and a supplanter and a heel grabber to a prince. And he also had some changes that took place in his life and the way he conducted himself, his business, everything that he did. Amen. The word of the Lord teaches us that when we are in Christ, we are a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I want to tell you, amen, the strength of the church is in prayer. When we understand and we know where we are in God, and we understand that we have to tap into the presence of the Lord, we have to pray like we have never prayed before. We are in momentous times, and if we're going to see what God has for us as the people of God, we got to get out of ourselves and get into the Holy Ghost and begin to touch God and have a move of the Spirit. Amen. The prophet Jude said, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. I believe we need to pray in the Holy Ghost more than we have ever prayed in the Holy Ghost. We got to get out of the fear of the flesh and get into the faith of the Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 I'm telling you, there's something that God is wanting to transmit, and there is a reason why he's going to transmit this. Hallelujah. And so as I was praying and meditating and thinking along the lines of what the Lord put into my heart and my spirit to communicate to you tonight, my mind went back several years, and I want to apologize. I stated a fact incorrectly April 22nd. This year, I was up here, and I mentioned about the nation of Israel, that it was 70 years old today. It's actually going to be 70 years old tomorrow, the 14th of May. And so I correct myself, and I'm sure people Googled and checked me out on those facts. But I'm aware of that. But I want to tell you that I believe it was somewhere in the summer of 1994, I went to a seminar, and there was a gentleman there. His name was Chaim Richman. Chaim Richman was one of the most important people in the nation of Israel at this moment. Chaim Richman is a rabbi, but Chaim Richman is also, he was in charge of the acquisition of the red heifer. In order for them to get the red heifer, they had to acquire this, and it's got to be perfect. Everything's got to be just right. And then they would basically burn it and, you know, use the ashes of the red heifer according to the book of Leviticus to purify the nation of Israel. And so I met Chaim Richman in 1994, and he was in the United States, and I guess he was touring. And Chaim Richman is also not only was in charge of acquiring the red heifer, which he acquired from a one guy, Jesus Name Apostolic cattle farmer that is also a preacher. He got the red heifer from him. And so they have the red heifer. And also, he's also the chief rabbi that is in charge of the reconstruction of the third temple. If you look it up, you'll find that Chaim Richman is the one that is actually spearheading the operation, the first temple being Solomon's temple, the second temple being Masada, the temple of Herod, the third temple being the temple that will be constructed shortly. But in the history of the nation of Israel, on the 14th of May, 1948, in 1947, the United Nations unilaterally decided they were going to give Israel and the Arabs a joint sharing arrangement for the state. They would let them both have the land. But that something fell apart. The Arabs didn't accept the agreement. And so that was in 47. In 1948, Israel said, according to the Fourth Geneva Convention, we are going to take our right to this land. It belongs to us. And so on May 14th, 1948, Israel was formed as an official nation. And so they had their struggles. They had their ups and they had their downs. Fast forwarding it a few years, 19 years, to 1967, June the 5th of 1967, they faced something called the Six-Day War. In the Six-Day War, there was a conflict between them and their enemies. And literally, for 6 days, Israel fought, and their enemies fought against them. And Israel was supernaturally intercepted or intervened by or helped by God. There are accounts in this history of the nation of Israel that for these 6 days and along the line of the time toward the end of the Six-Day War, that there were angels that appeared that defended the nation of Israel. Amen. There were angels that stood and they defended these men. And the opposing armies, they began to flee because they saw the bright light and they saw men that literally manifested themselves that were angelic in being. And they began to leave and they began to flee. And so after this 6 day war concluded, Israel again they gained more territory and they gained more strength and they stood their ground. And as time fast forwards, we come to the time that we are in right now. And you may be saying, what is the significance of Israel and why are you talking about Israel? Well, the reason why I'm talking about Israel and the significance of Israel is through Israel we got, amen, our Messiah. Our Messiah who is Jesus Christ. Amen. He became, amen, a man. He was manifest in the flesh, justified by the Spirit, seen by angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, had received up into glory. Jesus came through the nation of Israel. The Bible says in the book of John chapter 1, amen, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of flesh, nor the will of man, nor blood, but of God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. And so Israel produced the Messiah, but we see that the elder serves the younger. So the shadow is the Old Testament. The substance is the New Testament. The shadow is Israel. The substance is the church. And so the elder has served the younger. And now it looks like we are in a race against time, it would appear. And events are quickly escalating, unfolding to the point that is leading to the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And God has given promises to his people that they would possess their possession. It's going to be theirs. Amen. But we have to understand that the elder shall serve the younger. The point for the nation of Israel is to bring the world to the zenith of the Acts 2:38 message. That's the reason why Israel existed, to bring a Messiah so that the world would be saved. But the whole reason why this is so hard for so many people to understand and to grasp is because they look at this and they say, I don't understand. How could I be anything in the eyes of God? How could I do anything for God? How could I make an impact in this world? What can I do? Hallelujah. How can I make a difference? I'm telling you today, the only way that you'll be able to do what God has called you to do is you have to realize who you are in the Lord. We have been called and we have been chosen by God. The scripture says, the prophet and the apostle Peter said in 1 Peter 2 and 9, but ye are a chosen generation. When we have been chosen by God, that means that he decided. It doesn't matter with all of your quirks, with all of your ups, with all of your downs, with all of your failures. He chose you. He doesn't need you to try to disqualify yourself. He doesn't need you to try to knock yourself down and feel like you're not good enough. Amen. If you have been repented of your sins and been to water in the name of Jesus Christ, and you have been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you are exactly who God has chosen to do the work that needs to be done in this end time. Amen. We are up against it, and we need God's help. We need God's help. We need God's help. And so the Bible talks about this schoolmaster, and it talks about that we, the wild olive branch, should not rejoice against the natural, amen, tree or plant, because we have been grafted in. So we don't have anything to get, you know, arrogant about. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that we need to understand that God has chosen us for this very purpose. And so as we begin to come to this point in history where the nation of Israel is fighting and they're defending what is theirs. If you understand and you look at this the way that the Lord sees it in types and shadows, you understand that what they're doing in the natural, we're doing in the spiritual. So as they begin to launch attacks and do what they're doing with the Syrians, with the Palestinians, all this stuff that's taking place, and then also this just recently, I saw this just this week. There was a coin that was minted. You may have seen it. I don't know who put it out, but on this coin, it has the menorah. It has the face of, I don't know who it is, some sage or rabbi on there. And it also has a image of the President of the United States on there. And all of this is happening to let you know things are escalating. It's escalating. But how do we do what we have to do in this end time? How are we going to experience the blessing, the help from God? We have challenges that we are facing. Even as Chaim Richman and the nation of Israel, the Orthodox Jews are getting ready to build the third temple, we are preparing to build our sanctuary. Even as they're getting ready to do what they're getting ready to do, we're doing our part. We're pulling together, and we're pooling our resources, and we're working, and we're giving, and we're doing everything that we can so that we can see the work of God accomplished. And the reason why this is happening, they think they're building a temple because they're going to save the nation through animal sacrifices. Amen. But we are building a church so that we can save, amen, our city, amen, through the blood of Jesus Christ. So that people can come to the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Because there's so much that we're up against right now. And let me tell you, as Moses, in the book of Numbers, the 11th chapter, Moses faced a set of circumstances that was beyond him. He didn't really know what to do. And if you look at Numbers, the 11th chapter, you're going to see something very interesting. And the scripture says in Numbers, the 11th chapter, amen, verse number 11, and Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Have I conceived all this people? Have I begotten them that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth a sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? When should I have flesh to give unto all these people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. And if thou deal thus with me, kill me, I pray thee, out of hand. If I have found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness. And the Lord said unto Moses, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, unto whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there. And I will take the spirit which is upon thee and put it upon them. They shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow. And ye shall eat flesh, for ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it is well with us. It was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. And ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out of your nostrils. And it shall be loathsome unto you, because that you have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? Hallelujah. And Moses said, the people among whom I am are 600,000 footmen. And thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. God, do you understand what I'm understanding that you're saying? That you're going to feed these people for a whole month, just the soldiers, there's 600,000. They was estimated at around 2 million people. And he said, I just want to remind you of what we're up against here. I just want to tell you again what we're facing here. I want to let you know one more time, God, that we really don't have what we need. But I want to tell you what God said. God said, you get the elders together. Amen. I'm going to do something. I'm going to show you my power and my authority and my sovereignty. And so he gathered the elders together. And the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord that was upon the man of God, amen, went from the man of God, a part of it, and went upon the 70 elders, amen. And then when there was two of them, amen, they remained in the camp. And then Joshua or somebody came and ran, and then they said, hey, there's two guys. They stayed in here, and how come they're prophesying inside? And he said, are you jealous for my sake? He said, don't worry about that. He said, I would to God that all the people of the Lord were prophets. Amen. And so we see, amen, in the word of the Lord that God said, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to show you that my hand is not short. There is nothing too hard for me. There's people in this house right now that are doubting the ability of God. You're doubting what God can do, and God's going to show you how powerful he is and what he can do. I'm telling you, God's going to show you. You're going to see the hand of God. Because this started right here in Numbers chapter 11. And when Moses went, he gathered the people and he told them, and the Spirit jumped from him to them. And they began to prophesy. Everybody say prophesy. They began to prophesy. Amen. This is not just, amen, a forth-telling, but it's also a prediction or a discourse or inspiration, a word in due season. They begin to speak under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, and they didn't speak about their circumstances. They didn't speak about the mountains. They didn't talk about how hard it is, and I don't know what I'm going to do, and I don't know how I'm going to get out of this, but what they spoke was what God said in his word. They spoke, they prophesied, they spoke the word of the Lord. I'm telling you what's going to happen. God is going to put his spirit upon, you ready for this? Young people. Young people. The elder shall serve the younger. Joel 2:28, put it on the screen. And it shall come to pass afterward in the last days, saith God, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. I wonder tonight if there's any young people that are willing to get some of the spirit of your pastor on you so you can bear the burden and speak the word of the Lord. I wonder if there's any young men, young women that can get the spirit of your pastor on you to speak what God is saying. I wonder if there's any young people in this house, according to the word of the Lord, the Bible said it shall come to pass afterward. After that, he said that I will be in the midst of Israel. And you're going to know that I'm in the midst of Israel. And Messiah was in the midst of Israel. And then after that, amen, 50 days later, I'm going to pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And I'm telling you, sons and daughters are going to prophesy. They're going to speak what thus saith the word of the Lord. Come on, I need some help in the Holy Ghost. Oh, God, in the name of the Lord. In the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, because the first time around, the elders, amen, later was instituted in the Sanhedrin. They are the ones that the Spirit came from Moses upon them. But later on, Jesus said, it was prophesied through Joel, and then Peter repeated the prophecy in the book of Acts about this prophecy that was going to come out of the mouth of your sons and your daughters. Amen. If you're afraid of this, then just get ready. Put your seatbelt on or run out the door. Because what God's going to do is he's going to give, amen, an army is going to rise up. And they're going to stand, amen, with the church, with the man of God. And they're going to speak the word of the Lord. And they're going to have the word of the Lord in their mouth. And they're not going to back down. They're not going to be intimidated. They're not going to give in to Hollywood, the things of the world. They're going to be a young generation that's going to love God, that's going to love truth, that's going to love holiness. Come on, stand with me tonight. Come on, there's so much more. But I want to tell you tonight. Hallelujah. Come on, we gotta get a little bit deeper in the Holy Ghost right now. I feel like that there's a little bit, amen, of reticence in accepting what I'm saying, because maybe it's not quite, amen, what you envision how things would work. But I can give you a series of miracles that have happened simply through one thing, and that is prophecy. I'm talking about speaking under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something about the anointing. Amen. The anointing is supplying and providing what is needed. And God anoints you so that you can. Amen. The Bible says in Acts 10:38, God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And when you are anointed, you're anointed to touch somebody. Lay your hands on the sick, and they will recover. But I'm going to tell you something else the anointing does. The Bible says the anointing teaches you. Amen. You have to let the Holy Ghost teach you. You got to let the Spirit of God speak to you. You got to let the anointing talk to you and tell you, hey, you can't go there. You can't touch that. You can't do that. You can't think like that. Can we lift our hands to the Lord right now? Hallelujah. There is a liberty that God wants to bring right now. In the name of Jesus, it is a dream. It is a dream of the elders to see this happen. It is the desire. It is not just the desire, but it is the prediction of Almighty God that it will happen. Oh. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Come on, somebody help me. Somebody help me in the Holy Ghost. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Karabakata rabakata hakataya darabakashata labaha hakataya darakataya darakata hakataya darakataya darakata hakataya darakataya darabakata hakataya darakataya darakata hakataya darakataya darabaha irabakashataya darabaha hakataya darakataya darabaha This house, hallelujah, I know there's young people here. I want you to come. Every young person that wants the spirit of this man, amen, this is one of the most powerful men of God in the world. Not just because he's your pastor, amen. God has used this man mightily all over the world. And I'm speaking in the fear of Almighty God, and I'm coming in the name of Jesus Christ. I'm not coming in my name. I'm not coming to impress you I'm not coming to preach a masterpiece. I'm preaching and I'm prophesying in the name of Jesus Christ what's going to happen. Every single young person that wants the spirit of this man on you, I want you to come to the front. Every young person. Come on. Come on, don't wait. Si usted tiene el espíritu de este varón de Dios, sobre usted pase aquí al frente. Jóvenes. Come on, let's lift our hands to the Lord, young people, let's lift our hands to the Lord. Yes. Come on, in the Holy Ghost. Yes. In the name of Jesus. Come on, everybody, keep your eyes closed. Lift your hands up right now. Close your eyes. Lift your hands to the Lord right now. In the name of Jesus. According to your word, God. Pray, Lord, that you would let your spirit from this man of God, our pastor, Pastor Tim Copeland, let the anointing, let the touch, let the favor, let the prophecy fall upon these young people in the name of Jesus Christ. Come on, young people, this is your moment. Keep on. Come on, there's an impartation. Come on, keep on seeking him. Come on, the spirit of the Lord is here. And it's falling upon you. And you're going to be the vessel that God's going to use. Yes. Come on, feel your liberty. Come on, don't stop. Come on, we're breaking through. Israel's breaking through, and we're breaking through.